Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters are people that are making a difference during this time of incredible time, actually, of the shift on our planet and amongst the beings of our collective. And I have a wonderful, I'll introduce myself. I'm Veronica Ann Whistle, as most of you know. And my guest tonight is Peggy Black. And Peggy is a sound salutarist. Is that right? Peggy?
That's correct.
And Peggy works with sound to make a difference in the shift, and we're going to pick her brains about how to do that. She also channels a wonderful daily message called Morning Messages with wonderful little pictures and so on. You have so much to talk to us about. You've been doing this work for quite a long time, Peggy, haven't you?
It seems like it, yes.
How many lifetimes do you know?
Oh, a number of them.
You also work a lot with Tom Kenyon. And you do work all over the world, don't you?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate. There for a while, I used to say I traveled on sound waves. My expenses were paid to go to Egypt and offer sacred sounds in the temples and pyramids.
Wow.
And that was exquisite and quite life-transforming. And then also I was in Ireland, all expenses paid, during the Venus transit.
Oh, my.
A number of years ago.
Wonderful. So. How did you become a sound healer? Was it spontaneous combustion? Did it just come through you, or?
It was a spontaneous event. What had occurred is I had lived in Arabia for a year, and I came home and ended a marriage, and it was a very, of course, emotional ending, and I was just crushed and sad and all the emotions that people feel when something ends like that. And I was so filled with emotions, and at the time I did not realize that I was being, so to speak, guided by my team, that I call them now. But I was inspired to go to my altar, and I have an altar in my closet, and I lit a candle, and I would just say to Divine Source, here's my grief. Please assist me in transforming it. And I would cry and sob and wail. And then when that series of emotions were spent, you know, I would take my shower and get myself ready and go to work. And sometimes I would go on my altar and it would be rage. And I would just ask Divine Spirit to please help me transmute and transform the rage. And I would scream and pound the floor and really express.
And had your husband been in Arabia with you?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. We'd been together here in America for almost 12 years, so we were together about 13. But anyway, I just emoted. I just allowed whatever emotions to come, and I expressed them fully. Just that the kind of emotions that when you're finished with them, you're exhausted. And I remember my mother saying that you're grieving more over this than I've ever known you to grieve. And I said, Mother, I said, this is all the grief I've never expressed. This is all the rage I've never expressed. This is all the emotions that I have stuffed throughout my lifetime. And in the process of doing that, I always did body work, massage and energy work and reflexology. And so I was giving my mother a massage one weekend, and she was in her late 70s, and I said my prayer, I took a nice deep breath, and on the exhale, these enormously huge sounds came out, and it both startled us, and we got the giggles. It was like, oh my gosh, what was that? And I asked her, I said, well, can I try it again? And she says, well, close the doors and windows. So I closed all the doors and windows. She didn't want the neighbors to hear me.
And she was also metaphysical, wasn't she?
She was spiritual, yes. Mm. She was, I don't know if she used metaphysical as a term, you know, she was raised Pentecostal. And so speaking in tongues and that sort of thing. So this wasn't so far removed from what she had experienced in her upbringing. And I did the sounds for her for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then she sets up on the table, Ronnie, and she just moves her little body around, and she looks at me. She says, I have no idea what you've done. But she said, I don't hurt anywhere.
Wow.
And so that was the beginning.
And what were the sounds like, tones and
oh, it was
bursts?
Really big sounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just what I call free sound. Just there's no, they're just very large, big sounds. And so over the course of the next few years, I proceeded to be guided with my clients. And I'm clairvoyant, so I could always kind of see the energy that was trapped in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes get visions of their life or what was going on. And this just enhanced it. And I remember that I felt this presence, guiding me as I did this work. And I just trusted whatever sound was appropriate would be there. And I did that for about, probably 2 years. And then I met Tom Kenyon, but I had already established my clientele and how I would do sounds. I had been guided almost step by step. I had been guided to do that, and so when I went, he scholarshiped me to his Sound Healers Intensive, and I went up, and as he began to explain about sound healing, and outlined it. I was doing it step by step. I had already received my instruction, and it was very similar to what he was teaching. And then I ended up doing the informal forum in the morning before he ever started his sound healing workshop, and I did that for about 8 or 9 years. And so I love doing sound. I love letting the team sound. It's a powerful, very powerful process for people to use their voice as their own healing instrument and to begin to express the emotions that we're taught not to necessarily express freely and authentically.
So what is it? Does it sound like people are grieving loudly or sobbing or joyful or rageful? What does it sound like?
It sounds like all of those things. I have sound pods that I host and have been hosting for, it's been 12 years maybe, that meet once a month in my home. And, you know, we set a sacred space and set a prayer, and then I invite everyone to close their eyes and scan their body. And then in knowing that their eyes are closed and people can't be seeing them, to take a deep breath and allow whatever sound needs to come out to express whatever they've gone through that month. The stress, the tension, the fights, the traffic, the worries. And it'll come out and it's just a cacophony of discordant sounds. And then after maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the group will just shift. It gradually starts shifting and to tones that are very harmonic. And so they've kind of cleared, as it were, the vibrational patterns within their own circuits.
You know, I have only attended one channeling workshop, but that was the system they used to break into our ability to channel.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, it's sort of similar, like it healed a lot of, what you're talking about is people are blowing out the carbon in their pipes or something, eh?
Yes, they're clearing. We're such a repressive society.
We really are.
You know, we've been taught to be quiet, to shut up, and say, for an example, you're doing a job and the boss or your employer humiliates you or reprimands you in some way that you don't even feel like you deserved it, but you can't really fully express how you felt about that because if you did, you'd lose your job.
Right.
So what do you do with that? You take those emotions and you stuff them into the tissues and the cells of your body. And we just do that all the time, whether it's embarrassment or sadness or anger. We're really great at not feeling our feelings completely.
We sure are.
In the process of that, they don't go away. We just... we're like a biocomputer. We store or zip down these emotional experiences that are too painful for us to feel.
I want to jump back into something you said about, and I'm trying to see in my paperwork where it was, but anyway, you were talking about the sounds having a huge impact on the collective. So here you've got a mini collective in your sound pods. Maybe it isn't so mini, maybe it's quite big, eh? But well, that could have a huge impact on the shift if people are, or you know what I mean? That can really amp up our ability to meet the shift head on.
One of the things that we do at SoundPod, and one of the things that the team is always inviting everyone to do, is to recognize that we're transformers. We're energy transformers. We're transformers of dense, dysfunctional energy. And so, for an example, in SoundPod, we'll dedicate a portion of the evening to offer the expression of the collective anguish. And it will just be, you know, horrific sounds.
So you choose that subject as the theme.
Yeah, especially if there's something that has happened on the planet that is everybody's focused upon, some natural disaster.
Like the Gulf oil.
And a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And so we'll offer ourselves as vehicles and vessels to transmute and transform some of the collective grief or some of the collective anguish or fear. And then in the process, when you clear a certain amount of it, they call it my team calls it energy alchemy or emotional alchemy. Then we replace that with peace of mind or love or compassion, and make those sounds. And so you're actually interfacing with our collective consciousness in that way. And each individual can do that separately.
Hmm.
I mean, it's nice to do it in a group, but I do that work a lot during the day. If I feel tension or feel anxiety or hear something on the news, frequently I'll just create a sacred space in the moment, and I'll just say, allow me to be a vessel of transformation for this fear and terror that is being generated in the collective. And I call upon Divine Spirit and my team and angels to witness and support that work. And then I just make sounds, whatever sounds there, without any judgment. And then once I've cleared that, it doesn't go on forever. It's just like a block of energy that you receive, and you get to transmute it. And then I replace it with something of a higher vibration.
And do you have to replace it, or is there a natural flow up?
Well, I like to make sure that that I've replaced it, that I haven't left a vacuum.
Well, you gave me a line that was precious when we were speaking yesterday, which was sculpting reality with sound. So I guess the obvious thing is that you would want to replace it if you're busy being a sculptress, right?
I think so, yeah. Plus, it feels good. You see, if you've been sounding all of these, what we would call discordant, these dense emotions, and expressing them, you know, with your loud, almost offensive sounds, then it's nice to get into the awareness of your heart and offer your gift of love that's being generated from the heart's intelligence with a sound.
Hmm.
It's a gift. It's a gift that you give the collective. It's a gift you give humanity or your community or your loved ones.
Hmm.
There are times when my loved ones are going through some life-challenging experience, and I'll just say, allow me to be a vessel to assist in the transmuting of these dense emotions.
And do they experience that with you, or do you do this at home when you
sometimes
know?
I do it just as an act of service.
Mm-hmm. Mean that you're not necessarily there with them?
No, I'm not there with them.
Mm. Now, who comes to you? This is sort of interesting to me. I want to push about healing. Do people come to you because they're having a nervous breakdown, or because they have cancer, or because of arthritis or anything? Do people come for that kind of healing?
They do. Mm-hmm. When I was doing sound healing exclusively, I worked a lot more with people's physical bodies. Mm. Arthritis or stiff shoulders, or I had a number of patients that were going through chemotherapy, and they were having really good results with expressing their own fears and anxiety about the process. Mm. And following the pattern, the emotional pattern or the emotional thread to the source of that site, whatever was going on in their body, and discovering that sometimes it was an experience that they had had as a small child, and that child had never been witnessed and had never been able to express their sense of abandonment or their sense of loss because of a pet passing or a parent passing.
Right, and usual abuse stuff.
It had gotten locked in. Hmm. Or abuse or rape. Mm-hmm. I've worked with a lot of individuals who have been sexually abused as children. Mm-hmm. And then they were having trouble with their, all of that entire area that would be involved in that experience.
I mean, that's where their illnesses would rise or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Huh, yes. That's interesting. And your team calls it emotional keepers? What is it? And these are the dense, where you can explain
they that. Call them keepers. So if you imagine that on the timeline, you experienced, I worked with a lady that was a professional. I mean, she had such a high-powered job and was so educated and elegant and graceful, and she was terrified in speaking in front of groups. Hmm. And the team took her fear and began to follow. We guided her, to the source of this little girl in kindergarten or first grade, and she had needed to go to the restroom. And yet the teacher had made her stand up and make her presentation, and she had wet her pants in front of her class. Hmm. Well, you can imagine how humiliating that was. Mm-hmm. Well, that little keeper had literally stored energetically, we're talking all vibrations, we're talking energetically, had energetically stored that particular experience in the tissues of her body. And therefore, every time she would get up and even the thought of speaking, all of that would come back.
And
even
would
though she wasn't even conscious of it anymore. And so the two things that the team has always said about these emotional keepers or the keepers on the timeline is that two things, they need to be witnessed, and it is important that they have an opportunity to express what they weren't able to express at the time. Hmm. So most of the time, if we're humiliated or teased as children, we stuff it. We don't want them to see us crying.
Right.
And so what happens is all of that emotional energy that got generated by the experience gets zipped down or stored in our tissues.
And it could be rage and anger and shame.
Oh, it can be rage, anger, shame, guilt. Oh my gosh, any of those dense emotions.
Yes, really.
So once the adult person that I'm working with dialogues with their keeper and gives the keeper the opportunity to express whatever it was that needed to be expressed, it dissipates. It just vanishes. It shifts. There's a dramatic shift that takes place.
So tell me, just in reference to how we are so intricate, or how carefully aligned we are with our keepers, as you call them, would this woman have had a lot of like urinary tract problems, or?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So that's it's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's a very good teaching tool that.
It's very powerful. Mm-hmm. Our bodies
certainly is non-toxic.
Our bodies are just so amazing, and they serve us so well, and yet we're so unaware of how our energy body and our physical body intertwine. We know how to take care of the physical body by resting it and feeding it and, you know, all the things that we're told. But we don't take care of our energy body.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't do the things that are important for our emotional body.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they all interface with one another. We're multi-level, we're multi-dimensional.
We're exciting beings once we really catch on to that, aren't we?
Yes. Oh, it's amazing. I love the work I do. I'm so passionate about it. And it's just such a joy to serve someone in releasing some of these patterns that are holding them in their limitation.
Yeah, well, you're giving them themselves. It's a wonderful gift. I wanted to say this as well. You're talking about working with someone who was on chemotherapy. And I'm always fascinated, as we're vibrational vehicles of light, of course. And I'm fascinated by the fact that when we have chemotherapy, we have a lot of really destructive frequencies running through our being, don't we?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that choose not to have that procedure done.
Mm-hmm.
But here again, we're still in real primitive stages of how we take care of our well-being.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all healers. I know we are. We're meant to be self-healing. We're created to be self-healing. If you can cut your finger, and we've all done that and watched it, all of a sudden come back to all its wholeness. And if the body has the intelligence and the energy and the essence of who we are, has the intelligence to repair that cut, the body knows how to heal anything.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be done very, very swiftly. I mean, do you see things as, or have you in the past, because I know this is not the work you do so much now, but did you actually see physical healings in the moment with sound?
I did. I experienced like frozen shoulders and arthritis and some issues like, you know, that people had been dealing with so much through their years. Shifting.
How exciting. Isn't it exciting?
No, of course, every day is exciting.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And I never know. I have a phrase that I say, you know, send those to me. I can serve by being who I am.
Oh, great.
So I know if somebody's called me and I have an appointment with them, then there's something that I'm going to gift them with and they're going to gift me.
It's really wonderful. Now, you're doing all kinds of things. One of them is morning messages. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
I'd love to. The team that works with me and introduced me to sound, and by the way, I'll go back just a brief bit. Right after I did the sounds with my mother back in the early 90s, I went to an astrologer to just have a reading. I hadn't done that in years. And I didn't know her, but she came highly recommended. And she looks at my chart. And she said a couple things that were very, very, very personal that she would have not had any idea about. So she had my attention. And then next she looks at the chart and she says, oh my, she said, do you realize you are a sound healer?
Wow.
And I started crying, and she said, why are you crying? I says, how do you know that? How can you look at that chart, which makes no sense to me, and say that I'm a sound healer? And she says, well, this is what it shows, and it indicates that that's a gift you came with. And in fact, she said, I will just trade you my time if you'll work on my shoulder.
Oh, wonderful.
And so that was the beginning of that piece. And so I trusted it more than I allowed it to come in more, even though it was very strange. And I could get up and make these very weird sounds in front of 500 people, but I have a hard time with karaoke.
Oh, that's
if
fine.
If that makes any sense.
Isn't that wonderful? Listen, I'm going to ask you a really peculiar question, but if your mother was Pentecostal and understood speaking in tongues and that sort of ululation or whatever they call some of the sounds they made, did you ever get a link between the two and spirituality or consciousness? Or?
You know, I didn't. You know, I didn't. That wasn't something that I felt the Pentecostal religion and much of the religion so limited in such a box that I haven't been in that box in a long time.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking it might have been, I don't know, I'm just playing with that idea right now, that it might have been a connection to the etheric that we didn't realize or something.
It might have been, you know, I know that a lot of my relatives, I had a particular aunt did hands-on healing. My mother was clairvoyant. She would get images and dreams.
Oh, great.
So it was a part of, you know, the way I grew up.
Oh,
I remember when I was small asking her one time, what do I do when I hear someone call my name in my head? And she says, answer them.
That's great. Well, talking about in your head, let's bring the morning messages through for everyone.
Well, after I'd done the sound...
I shouldn't say in your head, through your head. How about
through
that?
Through my head, through my heart.
Yeah, in your heart.
When I was doing the sounds, Veronica, I thought that this was my service. Mm. And I was so dedicated. I created sound pods, global sound pods. I traveled a lot. I taught. I went to Tom Kenyon's trainings every year to do the morning forums.
Oh, we probably should tell people who Tom Kenyon is, because some won't know who he is.
Tom Kenyon is just an incredibly humble and astounding wise mentor and friend. And you can go to TomKenyon.com and find out all about him. He's also a sound healer, but that's just so limiting to all the things that he truly is. But anyway, getting back to the process, I even did an international sound symposium for 400 people. It took me a year and a half to put it together. And so I was dedicated and passionate. And then it was very interesting. I began to realize that the team that was coming in through with sound wanted to work with me in a different way. And so I was talking to a friend, you know, and she said, well, you know, you're the one with the human body. Write a contract. So I sat down and I wrote this really beautiful mission statement, and it was all in the positive. And then I read it one morning, and I sat down with my journal as the sun was coming up, and I wrote contact, and immediately heard in my head, we are here. And I took down all these notes. And every morning I got up and I took down a whole two or three pages of notes. And I remember I was astonished by what was coming forth and puzzled by it, but I just let it happen, and it was easy. It was so easy. And then one time it was really foggy, and I had been writing in longhand the messages and then coming to my computer and, you know, logging them in later that day.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just sitting there, since the sun, I couldn't see anything but the fog, I just came directly to the computer. And I said, I don't know if this is going to work this way or not. And then I said, contact. And the team said, we are here. And they said, the process is more an issue with you than it is with us.
Hmm.
And I said, well, being at my computer and my desk is not as pretty and as a stunning view as it is downstairs. And they said, well, we invite you to make the view from your computer as beautiful and as stunning as downstairs. And so I then revamped my deck and bought all these plants and bird feeders and found a little bird bath. And I even hired a tree person, and he took off a huge, huge branch of this oak tree that opened up the whole vista for me.
Hmm.
So that was the beginning of my team. And I took down these transmissions every morning. I've got like 300 or more in my computer.
Hmm.
And so in the course of, you know, the evolution of all of this, I was working, doing my sound work and doing this. I shared this with my family and a few close friends, but I wasn't telling a lot of people that I was doing this. And one day, I ordered this book on the internet, and I couldn't order it. I couldn't fill out, I couldn't make it work, so I called the phone number and ordered it. And after I finished, I asked the gentleman how they had gotten involved in that book. And he said, well, we published that book for the author, and we manage her website and her mailing list. And I heard the team say, tell them about the messages. And I heard myself say, I've been getting these messages. And he said, well, send me some, which I did. And it was just a matter of days. He got in touch with me and said, my company wants to partner with you.
Oh, wonderful.
And we want to create your website and manage your mail and create a book for you and a CD, and went on and on. He says, and our service is for this, and our cost for this service is $10,000. And I said, whoa, I've got to think about that one. And so I didn't even sleep that night. I stayed downstairs in front of the fire. And the next day I got up and I called several friends that knew about the messages. And the first friend said, after I told her the proposal, she said, this is what you need to do. This is perfect. In fact, it's so perfect, I'm sending $2,000 when we get off the phone.
Wow.
And the other two friends, unbeknownst to each other, each one offered, the other two offered $1,000. So I had $4,000 right
there. Wow. What a vote of confidence that is, and joy.
And I called the man back, and I said, I've got $4,000 in 24 hours. To me, that's a go. The universe is supporting this. And he said, great. And so I got prepared to go up to Ashland, Oregon to create the website. And at that point, the team said to me, go find the drawings that we gave you 30 years ago. So I went into my garage, and I found in this box all my art books and all these sketches that I had done 30 years ago with my left hand. It was an exercise that creativity I was playing with, and I used to do art projects with my children. And I filled volumes of notebooks with these line drawings. So I took them to an office place and spent 3 or 4 days scanning them all in. And then I took that disc of all my drawings up to Ashland, and we designed the entire website. And it got launched, and I created 44 messages that were free, and people started enrolling.
Hmm.
And then it ended up that the business, that particular business, went out of business. And so all of a sudden, I'm just left with, they didn't complete all their contract, and now I'm in charge of my website. They turned it over to me, and I had 1,500 people enrolled, I think. So I took it over, and I selected another 44 messages and had them formatted and began to manage the site myself. And as it turned out, I now have 11,000 subscribers.
Wow. And you're still managing the site yourself?
I do. I don't
Good
do
girl.
Any of the technical I have a web person that does that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I, you know, change things and look at things. And
well, it's wonderful because it's sort of like marketing in attunement with your higher guidance, isn't it? It's a really wonderful story.
One of the things I've always said is my team is my managers, my networkers, and my marketers.
Hmm.
They take care of all of that for me. I'm in a divine partnership with them.
Hmm.
I'm in a divine partnership, and I'm the physical component. And yet they are so loving and so present, and I'm so aware of them now, and I do this on such a regular basis. It's they're just part of my day. They're part of my 24 hours work. I'm in contact. But
you actually have books now, hey?
Yes, we've got two books and a CD.
Of the messages, right?
They're the messages,
mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is right after I launched the morning messages, I got an invitation to be on the Ocean of Gratitude cruise with Dr. Emoto.
Oh, wonderful.
It was wonderful. It really was. And So Carol Avalon said to me, now that you're going to be a presenter, you can offer a service. And I said, well, I do sound healing. She says, oh, we have someone doing sounds on the cruise. And I says, well, I do reflexology. And she says, we have a reflexologist. And so I heard the team say, offer channel transmissions. So I heard myself say, I can do channel transmissions. So I flew to Florida and got on a cruise ship with 200 like-minded individuals that were gathering together, offering channel transmissions, and I had never done one.
Except through your work, eh?
No, I'd never done one.
Hmm.
I'd only received physical written information that I'd done privately. I had never offered them to any readings to anyone.
Hmm.
And that was the beginning of a whole other unfoldment. So I just said to the team, if this is what you want me to do, you better provide me a place. And I found this little chapel room next to the chapel that was the bride's room. And that's where I did all my readings.
Oh, wonderful.
And I was totally booked. I couldn't do all of them. And so the team is, I came home and I didn't tell anybody I'd done that. I was very, very cautious about that. And the team kept saying, you need to let people know you're doing this. And I said, I talked to my daughters and they said, well, you know, Mom, you can't use cassettes anymore. And so I said to the team, if this is what you want me to do, you better provide me an easy way to make recordings. And you do that, and then we'll see what we're going to do. And within 2 days, somebody had sent me some information about this USB recorder that you hook into your computer.
Oh, wonderful.
And so it's kind of like there's this partnership that's occurring with myself and my team.
Have you ever resisted it?
Probably. I can't recall, you know, right away. I remember after the first company that launched my website, and I had taken it over myself, and they had promised to do a CD and everything, and that hadn't manifested, and the team kept saying, you know, we want you to do a CD, and they did it often enough that finally I just said, look, you find me a studio that's close to my house and inexpensive, and I'll make a CD. And until that time, don't ask me again. And so it was a month and a half or so later, I called a dear friend who used to live a quarter mile from my house, and he had moved. So I had called to see how his move was and his new job, and I said to him, after we had talked a long time, I thought of a mutual friend we'd both known 25 or 30 years earlier. And I said, are you ever in touch with Brian Todd? And he said, oh, Peggy, Brian bought my house when I moved to Palm Springs. I said, does he still have a recording studio? He said, yeah, I think it's in the spare room. Well, Brian ended up doing my creating my CD.
Hmm.
And when it was all finished, Brian came down and he said, you know, I usually charge this much, but after listening to these messages, I would really like to only charge this much for you.
Aww.
And then he said, I thought something was wrong with my equipment, and I checked it all out. And every time I played your recording, the same thing happened. And finally, it dawned on me, it was the energy from your team. So once the CDs were made, the packages, the design, and the boxes were in the living room, I opened the box, and the team said to me, all is well and more. Had the other company made the CD, it would not have carried our transmission.
Oh, my.
So it's kind of like that kind of unfoldment.
That's so wonderful. So we get blocked when it isn't really to the advantage of the project, right?
Well, you know, when that other company was kind of falling apart, every time I would get upset, the team would say, all is well. And this went on for several months. And finally, when I realized it was folding, and I was, you know, I wasn't, they weren't going to live up to their commitment. The team said, all is well. And I just out loud said, I want something more than all is well. And of course, I was too upset to receive any kind of information, but, you know, shortly I was in the kitchen doing dishes, and obviously a little more receptive, and the team came in and said, all is well and more. So that's become kind of my phrase when things don't look like they're coming together right.
Right.
Is to say all is well and more.
So you what you're saying is you have to be a little out of the way, even though you can be rather insistent on some aspects of support,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. Tell me about the healing healthcare message that I was listening to earlier today. Those are very powerful. Or if you would like to talk about other things that you're bringing forward and what's the future of the morning messages or whatever way you want to go. But the healing healthcare needs to be mentioned.
Oh, heal the healthcare and cleanse the currency.
That's right.
What the team is always inviting everyone in all their messages, in all the private sessions, is to wake up and realize that you are more powerful than you even can imagine. And to step into that ownership of that unique power. And that you work with energy. We all work with energy. So we can begin to consciously work with it. We can begin to come from that awareness in our heart and truly make a difference wherever we are. That every single moment of our day is truly sacred. There's no throwaway moments. And so they had me work with cleanse the currency. And here again, it was that incredible unfoldment. They gave me the message, and I was reading it to a friend, and she says, this needs to be a YouTube. I says, I don't even know how to make a YouTube. She says, I'll make it. She came over. She did all her stuff, and we put it up. But the idea behind it was currency is the thing that's exchanged between everyone. Money. And we all have an energy signature. So everything we touch, we leave an energy signature there.
Right. I am aware of that, right?
And most people are. But if you go into a grocery store and you get change and you put the dollar bill or the $5 or $10 or $20 bill in your pocket, you don't even think about the energy signature that currency is carrying. And most of us have issues about money, worry, stress, not enough, greed.
Oprah said one time, even though she has a lot, she always has issues about money too.
And so it's just a part of our energy signature.
Right.
So the team said it was so important for us as conscious, multidimensional beings to begin to, when we step into our bank, to just invite Divine Spirit, the angels, our team, to assist us consciously in clearing and cleaning the currency. So that when it then goes out blessing everything and everyone it touches. So as money comes into your hand, just clean it, just clear it. Just state an intention that I clear all negative energy off of this money and I surround it with light that it blesses and uplifts anyone that touches this dollar.
Excellent.
So that was cleanse the currency. And that I do. I still do that. I do that at the banks all the time. So it's the team is always inviting us to recognize and stay very conscious and present, no matter where we are.
And with the healthcare, are you still doing that, even though that raging debate has kind of abated a bit, even though the system hasn't.
Our healthcare and the way we take care of each other in the medical realm is not supportive to well-being.
No, it is not.
And therefore, the idea that we can, as a group, as one individual, we can begin to empower. We can begin to see the physicians, those in charge of our health care, waking up to realize that we're not just a physical body that can be dissected. We have energy and the energy body needs to be addressed into that package of wholeness. So heal the healthcare means that we come around and recognize and engage the individual in their own healing. You see, we've given our power away to our doctors and our physicians. We don't take any response. Most humans don't take any responsibility for healing themselves.
Yeah, it's kind of a victim approach, whether it's the monetary aspect of it or the physical, mental, emotional, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And so we're in this huge, wonderful shift of raising this evolution of consciousness that we're all a part of because we're here. We came here to make a difference. Every single human being, whether they recognize it or own it or even think about it, is here to make a difference and to transmute and transform the dense energy. And it's done with consciousness. It's done with intention. Whether it's cleaning the currency or it's standing when you're picking up your fresh produce and just sending a blessing, literally, and seeing your blessing touching the driver that drove the truck, the man that picked the fruit or the woman that picked the fruit, the people that planted. You know, you send your blessing all the way back to the source.
Hmm. And even the seeds, so they don't have to be genetically engineered.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So then you begin to recognize that you personally can begin to influence the collective. I'm always calling upon the angels, the archangels, the divine beings, because this is a planet of free will. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to be the inviter.
Mm.
Because divine spirit will await until we invite them. So I'm always inviting them.
I love that. Now, also, we've got quite a collection. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I always say that. What about using sound when you're doing these powerful, powerful intentions and blessings? Do you sound those as well? Or
I sound them. I sing them. I laugh them. I chant them. There's just, you know, I dance them.
You vibrate them.
You vibrate them. Yeah, you hum them.
Yeah.
I hum whenever I'm in shopping malls.
Oh, great. Yeah, I do too.
because there's so much discordant energy in those places that I make sure that I hum, which keeps me stable and centered in my own field.
I think that's brilliant. That's a wonderful. So that's an actual blessing for being out there. Now, do you travel? You still travel the world over?
I haven't done as much traveling in the last few years. It hasn't, for whatever reason, the team hasn't traveled me, is the way I put it. I've been more in my home. I live on a half an acre of land in the Redwoods.
Nice.
And I've been doing lots of private readings. So I do two or three private readings a day, generally. And so I haven't done as much traveling. I had two trips planned to the East Coast, and for different, totally different reasons, both of them kind of evaporated. So I just went, well, I guess I wasn't meant to go to the East Coast.
Hmm.
There's more to be revealed about that.
Well, and you must be, I mean, you're actually a beautiful light center where you are. And I think the thing we're really understanding is that that has a huge global impact in itself, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You see, we're learning that we can be wherever we are and make a difference.
Mm, and there is,
I have a big labyrinth on my land.
Wonderful.
And people come and walk it. It's a public labyrinth. And I have events, and then I do SoundPod, and I have a women's support group called Miracles, Intention, and Prayer.
Oh, wow.
And we've been meeting for like 17 years.
Wow. Is it the same people, or do you get new people and coming
it's
and going?
It's open. It's just an open forum. People come. People move away and are gone for 5 years and come back and call and say, "Are you still doing miracles?" And I'll say, "Oh yeah," and they come back.
Oh, that's so it's a huge service, isn't it? So, what do you think, Peggy? What's going on out there? Are we really making a difference in the shift now? What do you see about the shift?
I think we are, and I'm hoping that more and more people own that. I know right now we're just going through such tremendous shifts, and it's scary for people. You know, it's just frightening.
Well, so much is collapsing or dissembling, and I know there's...
Exactly.
Hmm.
And, you know, the only thing that I just continue to hold on to, that there's more to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And the best I can do is stay centered in my heart and offer as much gratitude and love to the collective as possible. Now, if everybody was doing that, we're going to lift up the planet. We're going to lift up consciousness. It's the dense, heavy, worry, fearful, prejudice, war kind of thinking that has kept this planet in darkness.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Because we haven't moved out of our, what you called it, keepers.
Yeah, and so the more that each individual, and I'm talking about every individual, recognizes that they're multidimensional.
Mm-hmm.
See, they're multidimensional, and they have a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
But who they are is they're the divine essence, their star essence. They're these incredible beings of light, and we just haven't been acknowledged about that. We haven't been educated. Our system has not empowered us in that way.
And we're kind of breaking into it.
And we're breaking into it. We're beginning. Look at the prayer circles that go around the planet. Mm-hmm. Look at the internet. You can send a message out and get thousands of people aligned for one half hour or an hour of focus. This is powerful.
This is very powerful.
That's what we're doing.
So do you say that sound is, or I think I would, I'm just thinking of this, sound is a great way to connect to our multidimensionality. It vibrates all the way up through, doesn't it?
Sound is one of the most powerful tools, yes. Because everything is frequency. Everything is vibration.
Mm-hmm. And the word was made flesh. We always fall back on that, right?
Exactly. So mm-hmm. Sound is the key. So how you use your voice, the words you say, what's behind your sound, all of those are conscious. You know, that's back to sculpting reality with sound.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sing through the day or do you curse? you're influencing your environment. You're adding to the collective vibration by your actions.
Can you give us a sample before we say goodbye?
A sample of?
Can you make some sound for us? Can you do a healing sound?
Sure.
It can be fun and funny. It doesn't have to be very serious.
No,
but
no, they like to do sounds. So I just invite all the listeners that are listening at this point to hold an image of what they are willing to be transformed, what they're willing to shift, sense a shift. It can be a physical problem. It can be a belief system they're ready to let go of. But hold something and just allow these sounds to be offered as a gift to uplift whatever you're willing to lift and transmute and transform.
I'm ready. just wonderful. Thank you so much, Peggy, and your team, Peggy Black. And people can find you on morningmessages.com.
Morningmessages.com, yes. And peggyblack.com.
And even YouTube, right?
I have a YouTube. I have several YouTubes. Also, you can email me at peggyblack@aol.com.
Wonderful. I've so enjoyed this and feel absolutely, I don't know how to explain how I feel, very different from that last experience. So we'll let you know over time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know they're very strange, weird sounds. I don't know what your sound person is going to do with that, but they're strong. In fact, I usually try to moderate them a little bit when I'm on the phone like this. Cause
I'm sure he can do that. But we'll be hooked off stage. So I have to say goodnight, but I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing such a wonderful, rich tapestry of what sound and consciousness and intention can do to sculpt our reality. Thank you, Peggy Black.
It was an honor.
Thank
it was
you.
Truly my pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
And me, thank you. So good night, everyone. That was Peggy Black. I want you to make your own sounds, and I hope you paid attention to how it moves stuck places in us, and we can be amazing, amazing, way beyond anything we can imagine. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you have any feedback on this show, suggestions for other guests, or if you'd like a session with me or with Peggy, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Take a deep breath, breathe in some love, and breathe it out to the whole community of paradigm shifters. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening.